Well, hey, as you we've already said a billion times, and I'm sure you've noticed, we're going to be continuing our series this tonight, talking about community. And so we started last week, going to do it tonight, going to do it one more week next week. My boy Antonio is going to be bringing the word. Woo! So it's going to be good. Before we start tonight, I just kind of want to recap a little bit about what we talked about last week, and then we can. I just think it was so cool how you can take the word community, take out the letter C-O-M-M, and you're left with the word unity. And so we learned and we talked about how there's unity in community. And let me just say this too, before we go on, that we don't want to have a series talking about community just to give you guys a bunch of information. You know, this is what community is, this is what community looks like. But really what we want to do, Pastor Luke and I and Antonio and the interns, different people who talk about what the series and pray about what we're doing, we want to project a vision for you guys so that we can begin to grow the way God would have us to grow. And how many of you guys know that, hey, you know what? God wants Shift to grow numbers-wise. How many of you guys know that? Amen? Not for our glory, so we can say we got a lot of people, but because God wants to add people to the house of God. He wants as many young adults in the Inland Empire that can be blessed by this house as possible in the house. And then there's also talking about growth and Shift. Hey, we want, obviously, the primary, the first place, the number one thing is that, hey, you and I are growing in our relationship with God. You and I are growing with our relationship with God. So there's growth there. But then there's also another kind of growth after that. And that's the growth where we begin as a community, as young adults, to come together, to join together. I heard somebody say one time, I'm single and ready to mingle. And so there's another kind of growth that talks about where you and I begin to come together as a people of God. You and I begin to be joined together, and we begin to enjoy God's created blessing called fellowship. And so what we want to do is as we talk about community, what we're really saying to you is, hey, what are ways that you and I can begin to come together with those around us? And so we can enjoy this thing called fellowship that God has created to be absolutely a blessing for you and I. You may be in the house tonight and say, you know what, Pastor Joe, I'm really a social person. Or maybe you're in here and say, I'm a non-social person. I'm not really social. I don't really go out like my, I won't name him, like my boy. He says he claims to be unsocial. On the spectrum, man, God, fellowship is something that we all enjoy. Fellowship is something that is absolutely an essential part of life. And when you and I come together the way God wants us to come together, you'll find yourself blessed beyond measure. Blessed beyond measure in that area of your life. And so we talked about there is unity in community. We also learned that the Bible says in Ecclesiastes that two are better than one. You guys remember that? Two are better than one. And so you're a whole lot better off when you're linked up with somebody of like faith, linked up with somebody who's got your back, than you are going about things on your own. All right, then the Bible also says in Ecclesiastes, it says, and a threefold cord cannot be easily broken, cannot be easily broken. And so, man, we can see again, man, there is strength in unity. All these different things that will be a blessing to our life when you and I come together, when you and I come together. I love this story. It's a story of Elisha, and him and his servant are asleep. And so his servant wakes up one morning, opens up the window, and is like, ah. Yeah, that was a good night's sleep. The sun is shining bright. The birds are chirping in the trees. It's just a beautiful morning. All of a sudden, he looks down, and the Syrian army has surrounded the city. And he's like, oh, my God, I'm going to die. Today is my last day to live. So he goes running off to Elisha. Sorry, that's my version of the story. He goes running off to Elisha, and he's like, Elisha, man, the Syrian army has surrounded the city. We're going to die. Today, it's it. And Elisha goes ahead and he turns to God and he prays to God and he says, God, I ask that you'd open up this young man's eyes so that he can see that there are more that are for us than are for them. And so, you know, so he prays that God goes ahead and opens up this young man's eyes. And as he's looking out his window and he sees this Syrian army surrounding the city, all of a sudden he beholds horses and chariots of fire that are absolutely fill the mountainside around them. And all of a sudden, he's put at peace, and he's brought to a place in his life where he's encouraged, not afraid he's going to die. And so what are we talking about tonight? We're not talking about angels and demons. If you want to hear a tight series on angels and demons, I encourage you to come out Sunday night, because Pastor Deborah is absolutely tearing it up. absolutely tearing it up. You don't want to miss it. But I think you guys see the point that, hey, when you and I come together in such a way that, you know what, you know that people got your back, that there are more that stand for you than there are that are against you, that there are more that are for you, got your back, encouraging you, promoting you in the things of God than there are that are with the enemy, man, that's going to produce strength in your life. That's going to inspire you to be an overcomer. That's going to inspire you to be victorious in the things of God. And so tonight, what do you say? We begin to come together and enjoy this thing of, man, people have my back. We also talked about last week of that each and every one of us are, sorry, I'm not preaching your message, Pastor Luke. Just keep on going. Anyways, we also talked about how, you know, each and every one of us, we play a special part in the body of Christ. Each and every one of you in here, God knows you by name. He knows the very hairs on your head, how many there are. And quite frankly, I just think the Bible stops right there just because everybody's like, oh my, you know, you're so blown away. But I venture to say, man, he knows every hair that is on your body, every hair that's ever been on your body, every hair that will ever be on your body. Pastor Joe, that's a little bit too much. Okay, I'm sorry. But God knows each and every one of you by name. And listen, God has an amazing purpose for you to play out in the body of Christ. And like we talked about last week, every one of you, man, regardless of you, if you feel like, you know, you're called to preach on a stage, or if you feel like, man, my call is just to serve the Lord, raise my family, maybe even just greet at the door, whatever it is, if you're not like a little characteristics in common. And so when you talk about community, you get creeped out by that. Like a college, maybe it's common and who come to the Rock, and then you go home and that's it. And there's other people who, a few verses, I don't know. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 and 25, talking joy. When you leave in on, you don't have to give into that. You're better than that. You've got something more in God. And so, you know what? Jennifer wouldn't do this, so I'm not going to do it either. What do you say? We come to the place just like the Bible talks about here, where we're so unified that in time of temptation, not only can we look to God, but we can look to one another and find encouragement to walk in the things. You are a holy nation. It says, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. Not just people who live in a vicinity, who live in an area and share a church and that's it, but you are now the people of God who had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. God calls you, and God has actually made you and I a people. A people. I like the story in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus comes up to his disciples, and he's like, yo, Who do men say that I am? And his disciples are like, yo, Jesus, men say that you are the bomb dickety, you're tight, you're at the top of the charts, you're all that and a bag of chips. And then he stops them, all right. Who do you say that I am? And I like Peter's response. Peter pipes up and he says, Jesus, I say that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus turns to him and he says, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And then he says, and he turns to him, he says, and I call you Peter. And he says, and upon this rock. Now you have to ask yourself before you go any further, what rock is he talking about? He's not talking about Peter as being the rock. He's talking about the revelation of Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. He comes to Peter and he says, I call you Peter. And on this rock, the revelation that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Who is the church? That's you and me coming together. And then he says, and behold, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And so tonight, I'm here to ask you, why don't we begin to come together in such a way that when we see something about to take place, you know, that's not according to the will of God. We don't want that to happen. We come together and we say, God, we're stopping this in Jesus' name, and we bind it up, and God goes ahead from heaven and binds it, and it doesn't come to pass. What do you say? We come together in such a way where, you know what, God, it is your will to bless this individual. It is your will to bless this church. It is will for you to bless this church financially. We come together in such a way that, hey, we loose the things of God, heaven on earth, and God backs us from heaven. God backs us from heaven. Why? Because we're a church. We're a body. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 says that we are God's church, which he purchased with his own blood. God's church, which he purchased with his own blood. And then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Remember, we're talking about we're more than just a community of people who live in a vicinity who share things from time to time because it's in the area. I have a common, you know, I have things in common. Like, I like to read, so I go to the library. Somebody else likes to read. All right, we're talking about we're a people, we're a church. And then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 says, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." For a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. If you look at how the if you take the word church, and we were talking about, you know, we're the church that's been purchased by the blood, by God's blood. We're the church that Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against. If you look at that word church in the Greek, it's the Greek word ecclesia. All right, and if you look at its definition, the definition is the whole body of Christians scattered throughout the earth, those who anywhere and in any city, in a village, constitute such a company and are united into one body. And as we learned last week, that's the body of Christ. And so again today, when you come into the house of God on a Friday night, shift, young adults, 7 o'clock, and you come and you sit down among everybody else, man, we're not just, again, not to beat a dead horse, but to really drive the point home that you're not just here meeting with people who you have something in common. You know, you're around your age. And you have something else in common. You live in the same area. And you have something else in common. You like going to church. And so you show up and that's the extent of it. But we're talking about coming together. And when you come into the house of God, you're sitting with your brothers and your sisters in Christ Jesus. You're sitting with your peeps, tu familia, if you know what I'm talking about tonight. You're sitting with the very people of God in which you are numbered. And so tonight, talking about community, what does a Christian community look like? If you're taking notes, you can put, what does a shift community look like? Do I have anybody in the house tonight? You guys are quiet. Maybe because you're listening. Thank you, Mike. I love you guys too. Hey, okay, so what does a Christian community look like? Or what does shift community look like? Number one, they love one another. We're talking about coming together, being a shift community. What should a shift community look like? Number one, they love one another. If you brought your Bibles tonight, turn to them with me to John chapter 13. We're going to begin reading in verse number 34. A familiar verse here at Shift. Actually proud that it's a familiar verse. It's one of my favorite verses. John chapter 13, verse number 34. What does a Christian community look like? Number one, they love one another. Verse number 34 says this, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." Jesus says, "As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this we'll all know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And so as disciples, followers of Christ, a people of God, the church that God has purchased with his own blood, what does that look like? It looks like a group of people who love one another. Now, Pastor Joe, what does that mean? Because, you know, love can mean one thing to somebody over here and mean something completely different to somebody over here. And so what you and I have to do is we have to go to the Word of God and find out what love is. Now, I think most everybody in here is familiar enough with 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're not going to turn there. But it says that love is patient. Love is patient. And so what does shift community look like? What does a Christian community look like? Number one, they love one another. Or you could say it like this, they are patient with one another. They have patience one for another. And you're not blowing your top, man. And then all of a sudden you walk in, it's barely 7 o'clock, and all of a sudden somebody comes, oh no, again. And it's no patience. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about having patience with one another. You're familiar enough with the chapter. It also says not only love is patient, but it says love is kind. And in talking about Christian community, what does that look like? A people that love one another, or you could say it like this, a people who are kind toward one another. Now again, okay, Pastor Joe, what does kind mean? Because kind can mean one thing to somebody right here, and kind can mean something completely different to somebody over here. The word kind in the Bible is defined as being tender-hearted. Tender-hearted toward one another. What does that mean? Tender-hearted. In other words, that you If you say it in today's terms, you would say, you know, you put yourself in other people's shoes. You put yourself in other people's shoes, and hey, man, you're familiar with the feelings of their affliction. In other words, when they're down and out, and when they're having sorrow, when they're having trouble, you're right there next to them, crying with them, comforting with them. It means that, hey, when they're victorious and they're rejoicing, you're right there next to them, rejoicing and excited for them, with them, and vice versa, them with you. Tender-hearted. You're touched with the feelings of what other people are going through. You're able to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. That's what a Christian community looks like. That's what Shift community ought to look like, and I believe that we're getting there. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love, the Bible says, again, in 1 Corinthians, love is not puffed up. Or it's not arrogant. It's not prideful. You should never come into Shift and feel like somebody is snubbing you, feel like somebody's ignoring you, feel like somebody's looking down on you. Listen, a Christian community loves one another, and love is not puffed up. And so you and I ought to never look down on other people. We ought to never ignore somebody else or snub them or I'm better than them, have this competition attitude. I like competition when it comes to sports, but when it comes to comparing, you know, that's not what we're talking about. When it comes to comparing person to person, there's a line that needs to be drawn. Why? Because we're a Christian community and we walk in love. Love is not puffed up. The Bible says also, it says that love bears all things. And so maybe one of the questions we can ask, since we're talking about community and we're talking about building community and coming together, love bears all things. When's the last time you bore somebody else's burden here in Shift? Maybe they needed help moving. Man, I'm moving out of my parents' house. I'm moving to my apartment. I'm going to college. I'm getting married. I'm moving. When's the last time you helped somebody move? Young adults move a lot at this age. When's the last time that maybe you have a friend that, you know what, they don't have a job, and so therefore they don't have transportation, and they need a job, and so when's the last time you, all right, I know it's my day off, and I know I want to spend it playing Xbox or whatever it is for you. When's the last time you say, you know what, all right, man, I'm going to come pick you up. We're going to go pick up some applications, drop off some applications, and believe God, man, he's going to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. And you are the very vehicle by which God helps that person get out there and be blessed by him. We're talking about love, being a Christian community, loving one another, bearing one another's burdens. And then the Bible says that love believes all things. Is there anybody in here in that house that you can raise your hand and say, you know what, Pastor Joe, I've been around people who, whether it's friends or family or whomever, and they didn't believe anything about me. That, you know, I'm not good enough. I'm nothing but a failure. I can't cut it. No guts, no glory, ain't going nowhere. Life sucks, man, when you're around people like that. This automatically from the get-go, oh, yeah, he's going to this, or he's going to that, or she ain't going to make it there. She ain't nothing but a... I don't know why you guys laughed. but love believes all things. And so, again, what do you say tonight? We begin to come together, and we begin to believe in one another, encourage one another. Hey, listen, you can do it. You can make it. I believe in you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And just so you know, I've got your back to help you, so that you know that there are more that are for you than are against you. Love believes all things. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, remember we're talking about what does a Christian community look like? They love one another. Ephesians chapter 4, and this is actually kind of tying into with last week's message. Ephesians chapter 4, and verse number 16. Ephesians 4, 16. Now I'm just going to start off by saying the name Jesus, because we're kind of jumping into the middle of what he's saying here, so just so we can bring clarity and understanding. Jesus, from whom the whole body joined and knit together, watch this, now talking about you, by what every joint supplies. In other words, remember we were talking about earlier, you have a gift, you have a calling, you have a function, you have an unction in your function. All right? it's talking about you. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, that's you. According to the effective working by which every part does its share, watch this, causes growth of the body. How many of you guys want to grow in God? So joining together, it says, and doing your share, doing your part, expressing your gift. It says that it will cause growth of the body for the edifying or the building up of itself in love. In love. And so what does a Christian community look like? Number one, they love one another. Number two, what does a Christian community look like? Number two, a dwelling place for God. A dwelling place for God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. It's actually just back two chapters. We're going to read in verse number 19. I said it earlier, but let's look at it together now. What does a Christian community look like? It's a dwelling place for God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 19, it says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." What does a Christian community look like? It's a place where God dwells, a dwelling place of God. Now, what I find interesting about this verse, if you look back with me at verse number 22, it says this, it says, "For a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." And so the Holy Spirit is the one who brings us together. He's the one that by his power, by his leading, by his guiding, by his truth, he begins to cause us to come together, all right? Now look with me at Ephesians, go back to Ephesians chapter 4, except verse 3 now. Verse 3 now. So what does Christian community look like? It's a dwelling place for God. All right, and he says here, he says that dwelling place for God in the Spirit. Now Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 3 says this, that you and I should endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. So again, the Holy Spirit's the one who's making us unified. He's the one that's bringing us together, but there's something that depends on you and I. And this is what it says. It says that we should endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In the bond of peace. And so what we're talking about is a dwelling place of God. And in order for God to come and dwell amongst his people, how many of you realize that we're going to have to come together? We're going to have to come together, and that word peace means that we're coming together as a whole, as a body, that we're coming together in peace, not in strife with one another, not backbiting on one another, not gossiping about one another, but we're caring for one another. And so it's dependent upon you and I whether or not God has a dwelling place to live in our midst. Now, let me just clarify. The Bible says, man, God will never leave us and never forsake us. But how many of you realize tonight that depending on how we live our lives can hinder God from doing all that God wants to do in our midst and being all that he wants to be? And so when you and I come together in peace, you and I come together unified, you and I come together in love, like as we were talking about, man, we create a dwelling place for God, a dwelling place for God. And so I say tonight that we come together in such a way, we begin to reach out to one another, reach across the aisle that you're sitting at today in such a way that, man, as soon as you begin driving on this campus, as soon as you enter in the doors, before praise and worship starts, before a word is said, man, God is just already sitting in our presence. God is already in our midst doing great things in hearts and lives. You know, I have to say about this church, and there has been other churches in the past, man, I walked in the front doors of the church. And because there is a dwelling place of God in this house and at others, I've been a part of lots of churches over my lifetime. As soon as I walked in the door, man, I just began to cry. Because the presence of God, man, he had a dwelling place, hit my heart, and began to heal me and restore me and build me up and encourage me and make me all that God wanted me to be. And again, man, if God's going to dwell in our midst like that, it's dependent upon you and I. We are the ones who endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so Christian community, what does that look like? A dwelling place of God. And then lastly tonight, what does a Christian community look like? What should Shift community look like? Number three, a place where life reigns. A place where life reigns. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms 133. Psalms 133. Let me hear those pages turn. because I hear like one. What does Christian community look like? A place where life reigns. Psalms 133, verse number 1. We're going to read the whole chapter. It's only 86 verses long. I'm just kidding, it's only 3. Didn't. Psalms 133, it says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Verse number 2, "It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments." All right, Pastor Joe, what are you talking about? Oil running down beards? I mean, what's going on here? Remember, we're talking about that Christian community is a place where life reigns, and it says right here, how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity, all right? And then to give you an example of what that's like, it says in verse 2, "It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron." Now, what you have to understand about this whole oil thing and anointing people with oil, in the Old Testament, when Aaron was anointed the priest, when King David was anointed as king, when prophets were anointed, you know, when Samuel was anointed, man, this oil, this anointing oil that they begin, that they pour, they start off by pouring it on their head. The prophet would say, God is anointing you king right now. It was said about this anointing oil that its fragrance was one of the most beautiful fragrances that you'd ever smell. Like, you talk about, you know, ladies in the house, I know you like perfume, and you know, there's actually that one store, I don't remember the name of it, when we were in Oklahoma, and they just had random smells like sports grass, and you could like go and smell it. You don't remember what I'm talking about? Anyways, anybody know what I'm talking about? Wow. Anyways, just erase that from the recording. I don't remember what it was. It was a store, and basically they just had all these smells that they had created, and I remember one of them just standing out to me. It is titled something like "Grass After the Game" or something like that. And because I play soccer, I was like, "All right, I'm gonna test this out." And I smelled it, man. It was just like fresh cut grass after a game, you know. And so they had all these different smells, and you know, that you could put throughout your house. It was kind of like the Home Depot of the smells, you know. And so they're saying that, you know, that grass one was popular amongst the guys. And so, anyways, what you could take these smells, and you can do different, put them in your car, you know, all this kind of stuff. Anyways. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, the oil. So the oil. So it was said about this oil, man, when they poured it out, it was one of the most beautiful fragrances that you could, with its beauty, with its wonderfulness, if you will. And so he's saying here, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard, the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Life forevermore. In that place of unity, in that place of coming together, in that place of reaching out, in that place of loving one another, enjoying fellowship, in that place of endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, God commanded the blessing, life forevermore. And so I don't know about you today, but I want to come together in such a way that God can command that blessing and that life reigns in our midst, so much so that the powers of death and hell and darkness begin to fall off of people as they walk into the people in an area who have things in common, who share things from time to time because it's in the area. And I want to close with this statement by Matthew Henry. He said that unity is not only not quarreling, it's not only not devouring one another. Let me say that again. Unity is not only not quarreling and not devouring one another, but delighting in each other with mutual endearments. Look at your neighbor and say, sweet nothings. And promoting each other's welfare with mutual services. Promoting one another's. So unity is much more than just, hey, I'm not fighting with people. But it talks about a coming together and reaching out toward one another. So tonight, if you got something from the Word of God, go ahead and give Him a great big praise.